Good morning and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick Jay and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Tuesday, July 14th, 2026. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 51, the second paragraph beginning with We Asked Ourselves This. And we will be reading that one paragraph, ending with airplane travel was in full swing. Today's readers are Mary F., the 12 steps, Jen P., the 12 traditions. Our big book readers are Shanna C. in the text, Ken W. H. on page 164, and Julie G. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Julie M., and our second hour moderator is Leah S. The share IDs for Monday, July 13th, 2026 are 7 a.m. Eastern Time is 23,630. That's 23,630. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 23,631. 23,631. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary F. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning. This is Mary F., a compulsive overeater currently in upstate New York. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood them. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our will. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects. 7, humbly asked him to remove our choice. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so to them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted. 11, sought through prayer and meditation conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to come. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this compulsive overeaters and to practice these things in all our lives. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Mary. I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning. This is Jen P. Grateful, abstinent, a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. The 12 traditions. Tradition 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you, Jan. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and what we were discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will let you know. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 51, the second paragraph, beginning with, we asked ourselves this, and we will be reading that one paragraph ending with, airplane travel was in full swing. I will now ask Shanna C. to begin reading.
Good morning, Rick. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Through God's grace and mercy, and I'm living in East Tennessee, just outside of Knoxville. Okay, this paragraph. All right, we ask ourselves this. Are not some of us just as biased and unreasonable as the realm of the spirit, about the realm of the spirit, as were the ancients about the realm of the material? Even in the present century, American newspapers were afraid to print the account of the Wright brothers' first successful flight at Kitty Hawk. Had not all efforts at flight failed before? Did not Professor Langley's flying machine go to the bottom of the Potomac River? Was it not true that the best mathematical minds had proved that man could never fly? Had not people said that God had reserved this privilege to the birds? Only 30 years later, the conquest of air was almost an old story, and airplane travel was in full swing. Welcome to all who are new and who are, you know, just starting their journey, and welcome to those who are coming back and those who are still suffering. I'm not quite ready to admit it. And to those who are reading this paragraph and they're like, yeah, I've tried OA before. I've tried the steps. I've worked the steps 6 ways from Sunday, and I can't get it, and I can't stay abstinent. I'm glad you're here, and I'm praying for all of us, right? So what this paragraph jumps out at me is just that, is all the things that I think that are going to work or should work a certain way, is it possible that I could be wrong about them, you know? Is it possible that I could be wrong, that if I try this thing again, I'll fail? But I'm so tired of trying. I'm so tired. I've had 6 million different sponsors. I've had tried 6 different million food plans. I've tried all the tools. I've tried not the tools. I've tried a food plan, not a food plan, all of the things. And then that one last ditch effort of, God, whatever it is, whoever you are, however you want to show up, whatever you want to do, I can't live like this, and I want to die, and I need your help. If you've ever been there, I have too, and that's where I got to. I didn't understand paragraphs like this when they were first presented to me. I didn't care about Kitty Hawk or the Wright brothers. It always kind of fascinated me. But, you know, in fact, I ended up marrying a pilot. But all I know is for me and in my own experience, I got to the end of my rope. I made a call. Someone was telling her story about how OA worked in her life. And she, I listened to that story. She called me back after I called her in desperation. I started working these steps out of this big book. I came to believe that this program could work for me and that God really cared about this food problem in me as well. And that it could get better. And I did what I was told to do, not even sure it was going to work. And lo and behold, here I am, a recovered compulsive overeater, not finding it necessary to stuff my face, not finding it necessary to starve myself, healthier than I've ever been in my whole life. And couldn't be more grateful today. And all I know is what this paragraph means to me is that there is a God that has removed this problem for me a day at a time. And he answers my prayers in ways that I never expect. That's the biggest takeaway I have from this paragraph, is I get prayers answered in ways I could never expect. And it's always better than anything I could have ever asked for or imagined. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much for getting this started, Shanna. And before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who would like to share what was read this morning?
Teresa A.
Is that Teresa A?
Yes, Teresa A. Thank you.
Okay,
and Janice P.M. Thank you.
Got you, Janice.
Nancy P.
Jennifer C.
Virginia N.
Who else? All right, here's who I've got. I have Teresa A., Janice P.M., Nancy P., Jennifer C., and Virginia N. Does anybody else want to get in this first lineup? All right, we're going to go ahead and go for it.
Liz S. from Oregon.
Lynn S. Liz S. from Oregon?
Yes, please.
And was there somebody else right in there with you?
I just wanted to ask what the reading was. I came in late. Thank you.
Okay, we are on page 51, the second paragraph, beginning with, we asked ourselves this, reading that one paragraph. So, Teresa A., you are up first, followed by Janice P.M. Go ahead, Teresa.
Thank you so much. Good morning. Teresa A. in Silver Spring, Maryland. One of the times when I was reading this paragraph a long time ago, I said, Potomac River. You know, I was born and raised in Washington, D.C. I said, my Potomac River in D.C.? So then I went down a rabbit hole researching, and I was like, well, I want to know about this. A plane crashed in the Potomac River. And so I found out about Professor Langley. You know, he was an aviation pioneer and an inventor, and he had a lot of notoriety. He was successful in building, you know, steam and gas propelled, you know, model airplanes. But then when he tried to build planes that would carry people, they would fall. You know, they would fall and crash, and so he had to suffer lots of public ridicule and humiliation. And so I thought, well, you know, surely, you know, maybe he had these trials and errors, and then eventually the Wright brothers, you know, they had their victory. But in what I found out was that Professor Langley, he had two plane crashes right before the first successful flight at Kitty Hawk, right? So Kitty Hawk was December 17th, 1903. Professor Langley had a crash just 9 days before on December 8th, and then 2 months before on October 7th. So like when I read this paragraph, I relate to it not only because I'm from D.C., right, and you know, the Potomac River is dear, but here's Professor Langley who has done all this work on aviation, and out of nowhere, the Wright brothers have a successful flight, and they get this notoriety. I've never heard of Professor Langley before I read page 51 in the AA Big Book. And so when I think about my recovery journey, I actually relate to Professor Langley because, you know, I imagine that he was holding up the newspaper reading about the Wrights and thinking, WTF, how in the world were they successful and I wasn't? And I have been in program a long time. It's going on 20 years. And let's say I've had a lot of crash and burns when it comes to working this steps. And I've been on a vision for you since I was here on day one. That was quite a long time ago. And since then, other people have come, other people have recovered. And there have been times when I'm like, wait, why am I not recovered yet? But you know what? I'm recovered today. And I have to accept, I don't know why it was, what it was just the timing, you know? But I'm just grateful that I have success now. And pray to have just continued recovery. Thanks, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Teresa A. from Maryland. All right, Janice P.M., you are up next, followed by Nancy P. Go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank
Janice,
you.
Janice, oh, there you are.
Yes, I just did that. Good. Yeah, this is Janice P.M., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Okay, when I living in Massachusetts, and when I read this paragraph, instead of I'm just going to change the we to I, and I just want to give my experience that yes, I was just as biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit, okay, as were the ancients about the realm of the material. Well, I wasn't biased about material. When something didn't work, some gadget didn't work, I would change it. Some new clothing fashion, I would change it. I'd be very willing to change. If I didn't go to a place before, I was very willing to try that out. But I was one that had a faith in a higher power, whom I called God, but I lost it. I lost it. Due to my intolerance, my prejudices, my opinions, my fixed ideas. You know, I thought that, you know, I was pretty intelligent. Well, I had such fixed ideas and I was not willing to change. Yes, I knew I was powerless. But I thought that, you know, I'll find a way. I'll manage my life. Of course, I was facing collapse with my food addictions and my home life. Despair and failure of my human resources. I had to become willing to change for that lost faith that I had. So how did this whole process start? And this is these two illustrations are great illustrations for the process that I had to go through. And thank you, God, today I have found my faith. First, I had to be willing to change, like I was willing to change anything else in my life. I even wanted to change my husband, you know, get a new husband. I was willing to do that, how wrong I could be. I was willing to change circumstances because, you know, I had so much pain, but I couldn't do it. I was powerless. But then I started to believe that, gee, these people in these rooms, they recovered. So I was starting to be willing to believe, and then I started to achieve. Made a decision, part of the process, to start the actions of these 12 steps. Guess what? I got the results. I got a spiritual experience, okay? And by doing steps 4 through 11, the action, I got the results. And I got my faith back. And then...
That's time, Janice.
Okay, and I'll wrap up. I got the knowledge to go to a newcomer and help them go through the same process. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Janice PM from Massachusetts. All right, Nancy P, you are up next, followed by Jennifer C. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Rick. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P recovered actually in Vernon, Connecticut this morning, but usually in West Newton, Massachusetts. So, I don't care about the realm of the spirit. It's all voodoo. You know, like, what I wanted was to not be so angry all the time. What I wanted was not to be obese. That's what I wanted. And it didn't matter, like all this other stuff that was crowding me. And, I didn't know that I was agnostic then. I just knew that what I was doing wasn't working. It didn't matter how closely I followed what it said in the book. You know, it was always like, I mean, I went through the Big Book Step Study once before, and I had a completely fine sponsor. And my entire attitude was, I know, can we please get to the recovered part so I can be a rock star? And, you know, she didn't say anything. Her attitude is what my attitude is. Do it or don't do it, Nancy. This is what worked for me. And so when I, you know, and that's what I think about everything, like, do it or don't do it. How's it going for you doing it your way? And I asked that myself that, and it never was going well, ever, ever. Even when my body was slim, even when I had what I wanted, my mind was still like a snarly, hairy cat puke thing in the drain, like the worst thing that you can think of. And when I had finally been beaten, you know, down, you know, feeling near as faded as my jeans, I finally picked up the phone and called a friend who told me about this meeting. And I felt better when I dialed in, you know, because people weren't talking about getting abstinent. They were talking about the steps. And what I came to find out is that I had to find a way to harness the power of what is written in this book in a way that worked for me. And, you know, I came out of the closet as an agnostic. I didn't know that's what I was, you know. I didn't know that. But I do now. And what I did was, at this point, now, I'm on step two. When I was reading this with my sponsor, I was on step two. But I was thinking about step 11 and step 12 and when was I going to get there. And then, you know, my sponsor, I didn't say anything about that. My sponsor was really scary, and I never said anything. I just listened, which was what I needed to do. And slowly, slowly, you know, I found out, like, the God idea, our ideas didn't work, but the God idea did. Well, I don't care about the God idea, but I do care about my ideas not working. And I wrote in my book, maybe this could work for you, even you. Like, I still carry around the baggage from when I was 4 years old and some kid in the neighborhood said, go home, Nancy, nobody wants to play with you. And that's how I felt. Like, I didn't know that I felt less than and not good enough and like a loser. I didn't know that because I had, you know, material success or I had a good job or whatever. I had all the stuff, but my brain was not there. And when
that's
I did
Nancy.
What it said, yep, I'll wrap up. When I did what it said in the book, the way that it said it, I got better and I got better fast and I got really better. And it all started with one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Jennifer C., you are up next, followed by Virginia N. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Good morning, everybody. Jennifer C. recovered in South Carolina. You know, what struck me about this paragraph is that at the very end, only 30 years later, the conquest was almost an old story. How about 30 years for some of us to get recovered? We're embarrassed to say, hey, I've been around for 20 years, still in the food. In 10 years, I still can't get abstinent. So much shame around that, right? Took me 2 decades to get recovered in this program. Not proud of that. It is what it is, right? I look back and think, man, if I had only gotten this in my 20s, could have spared my family, myself, all sorts of pain. Meanwhile, it takes what it takes and we're powerless, right? Ultimately powerless to perform a miracle. And be careful what you listen to and be careful who you ask for advice in this program, because if it doesn't align with this book, I throw it in the garbage. Because I don't just want recovery. I want big book recovery. The only recovery I want is what's in this book. And I want to be constantly evolving in my faith. I want to be changing, right? I start as an agnostic, maybe, like I start having to maybe just put my faith in what you guys are telling me, put my faith in these steps, put my faith in the food plan. Maybe, just maybe, I'll be more satisfied on a food plan than I'll ever be in the food. Put my faith in the calls, and I put my faith in the meetings at first, right? Choose your own conception. Where's it going to begin? And then gradually, I begin to see the miracles. I hear the miracles. God is in the miracle business. And I slowly but surely, just like the 12 and 12 says, I slowly but surely believe in God. And I come to believe more and more. And so it's interesting because at the last point in this paragraph, it says, you know, then it's an old story, right? Like all of a sudden the miracle becomes an old story. And that's what I have to be very careful of in recovery, because at one point, all I was asking God for is like, please, please recover me, God. Please surrender me, God. Please, I don't know what I don't know. Please do this for me. What you're doing for all of them, do it for me. And then if I'm not careful, the miracle becomes an old story in my life. And I forget that I'm living out a miracle of recovery. And that's where I want to stay. I want to stay thankful and grateful and on fire because I got this miracle today. And all of you, this is available for all of us. God wants to give it to all of us. And I say to the people who want this so badly and they don't have it yet, I say, you know the good news? God wants it more for you than you want it for yourself. And we put all
time, Jennifer,
in that basket. Thank you for being here this morning. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. All right, Virginia N., you are up next, followed by Liz S. Go ahead, Virginia.
Good morning, Virginia N. from Southwest Virginia, compulsive overeater, grateful to be abstinent today. Boy, these shares this morning really touched my heart, and I really appreciate the honesty people have. I'm one of those. I can't stay abstinent, and I keep coming back. I keep coming back because I know that there's something in this program. When I hear the joy and the comfort and the, you know, I just want what recovered people have. And the other day I said to someone, I don't know, there's something I'm not doing, or there's I'm missing something, and I don't know what it is, and I'm sticking this out, and I keep trying and trying. And she said to me, well, when I'm in that place, the missing link is God. And I was like, huh. So, you know, am I not trusting in that power greater than myself to take care of me? Maybe that's it. I'm not quite sure, but all I know is I'm in the right place, and I'm not leaving because I really trust that my higher power wants to give me what recovery people have, and I feel like I can get it if I keep doing the deal. So I'm working with a sponsor right now, starting my steps over, and you know, maybe this time that missing aha moment will come to me, and that's what I'm praying for. So I enjoyed this reading. The Wright brothers were bicycle mechanics. Go figure. You know, scientists couldn't figure out the flying, and the bicycle mechanics could. So I'm an avid cyclist. Bicycles are a lot more basic than airplanes, but you know, if the Wright brothers could figure out the flying thing, I think with the help of OA and my higher power, I'm going to figure out this eating thing. So thanks. I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Virginia. And just so I make sure I get the right state, did you say Southwest Virginia or Southwest Virginia?
Yeah, it's Virginia from Virginia. I'm from Southwest Virginia.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Virginia N. from Virginia. Liz S., you are up next, and we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Liz.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you for your service today. And thank you for all the shares. The lead share, the next to the lead share, all the shares have been great. I lived, too, in Montgomery County, Maryland for a while, right on the C&O Canal, which is kind of part of the Potomac system. And Langley is everywhere when you go around Maryland. The names, it'll name Langley, but nobody knows the guy. You know, it talks in the big book about how electricity and steel girders being these clusters and orbits of electrons whirling about, and people don't understand. Well, you know, Bill and Bob were two guys, and the Wright brothers were two guys, and people come in all shapes and sizes and beliefs. And I believe that whatever way one finds, be it atheist, agnostic, I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter. It, to me, my point of view, to me, as long as I'm following the basic principles of the big book, I'm fine. I'm doing it. I'm recovered. I get to do this, and I am grateful. You know what? I can understand electricity, but I don't have a clue when it comes to gravity. What is it that keeps me down on the ground? You know, I don't get it. But if I take that point of confusion about gravity and put it in my concept of spirit, I get it. I don't understand why. I'm an agnostic. I don't understand why or what, but I get that there's something that keeps me on the ground, and there's something that feeds my spirit, and it's in this big book. And thank you for everyone's share, and I pass.
Well, thank you, Liz S. from Morgan. All right, before we continue with our second group of names, we are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 51, the second paragraph, beginning with We Asked Ourselves This, and reading through that one paragraph, ending with airplane travel was in full swing. And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Friday or Monday, please hold back and let others share. Who else would like to share on what was read this morning?
Melissa.
Charles H.
Melanie P. Melissa C. Charles H. Got somebody from Montreal. Who was that?
Melanie P.
Is that Melanie P?
Yes, correct.
Gotcha, Melanie. All right, who else?
Aaron K. Tennessee.
Okay, so I got Aaron K. And then was that Chris? Was that Chris K there? In Tennessee?
Oh, Sophie S.
Oh, how do you spell your name, Sophie?
S-O-P-H-I-E.
Oh, Sophie. Is that Sophie H?
S.
S. Man,
thank
okay.
Thank you.
All right. So I've got Melanie C, Charles H, Melanie P, Aaron K, Sophie S. All right. Anybody else? All right, so we'll see where we're at after this group. When you introduce yourself, please remember to include name and where you're calling from. Melissa C., you're up first, followed by Charles H. Go ahead, Melissa.
Hey, thanks, Rick.
so much for your service this morning. I'm Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm in New York. And, you know, I read this, and am I biased and unreasonable? Have I been biased and unreasonable about the realm of the spirit? And why do I have to, like, why is this here? And, you know, that's what I always read. Like, what was the purpose of this kind of paragraph? What is it trying to teach me? And it's really, I think it really comes down to this, like, how am I ever possibly going to form a relationship with a power? If that's my only solution, and I found that out in step one, if I can't even envision or open up my mind to the fact that there is a power, you know, if my entire recovery depends upon a miraculous intervention, like, that's what it means really to take a true step one, right? It means human resources failed, like, utterly. No diet, no amazing meeting. However much I love this meeting, you know, the fellowship, great sponsor, good food plan, all of those were human powers. What was going to be required for someone like me was a miraculous intervention. And if I can't even allow myself to believe the possibility that there is something out there that wants for me, you know, liberation, freedom, that it actually exists, how am I going to form a relationship with this? And so I think, like, this is, like, helping me, like, get over yourself. You know, get over it. Open up your mind and at least allow the possibility to exist. And, you know, and I can say from my experience is that when I meet people in this program who are unsure about the power of God, let me tell you, that was my, that's how I came in here. I was uncertain about the power of God. I wasn't sure that I could believe. I had reasons. You know, I would point out things in my life that, you know, I didn't get what I wanted. And some of those were really beautiful, like, normal, healthy things to want. But I didn't get them. And so I pointed at them as reason why God couldn't exist. And I think, okay, that would be like the Wright brothers saying, okay, well, Professor Langley crashed, ain't going to happen. But to open up my mind instead of looking at the things that didn't go well as evidence that God didn't exist, as the fact that I was still here. You know, I was still here, and I kept coming across people who told me God did exist, and it worked. This worked. And, you know, so my question... Yep, thanks. I'll just close up with this. It's if you can't believe or if you don't think you can believe currently, my follow-up is, do you want to? Do you want to believe? And I did. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Melissa C. from New York. Charles H., you are next, followed by Melanie P. Go ahead, Charles.
So I still don't know how the airplanes and the birds and the mechanics of all that and how the light come on and the electricity. But one thing, you know, so one thing I do know is that I want to be fat. I don't want to be slim. I want to be faithful, available, and teachable. And every paragraph got something in it. And, you know, and I want to accept. This isn't a buffet. I don't want to take what I want and leave the rest. I learn from every share. I learned that I got two ears and one mouth. And for me, I got platforms that was built from the stones that people threw at me. And I'm grateful for those stones because it made me who I am today. And I am not, you know, I'm not what I've been through. I'm who I choose to become. And I choose to become somebody that learns on a consistent basis that I ain't got it like that. Many people with so much time had they set aside the set-aside prayer and they picked up. I don't want to set that aside. I want to bring it forward in my life on a daily basis. And You know what's so amazing, guys? I want to give y'all a personal thing right quick. In a program where we don't matter what color you are, how big you are, how slim you are, right? But I, for the first time in recovery, I'm able to sponsor a black man and a black woman in a fellowship that is not even 1% of African Americans. That I am so grateful for that. I am so grateful for that. I'm so grateful to, you know, listen to my sponsees and just because that's what God did and that's what y'all did for me to listen. I don't worship no meeting. I don't, you know what? I don't. I don't worship no book. I worship God. Whatever that means to me, that's what it means to me. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Charles H. from New York. All right, Melanie P., you are up next, followed by Aaron K. Go ahead, Melanie.
Hi, my name is Melanie P. I'm a compulsive overeater from Montreal, Canada. I'm recovered by God's grace and His mercy. What this paragraph is telling me is how many years in OA I try to do my way. I came at the age of 22 and I'm 55 and I have a little bit less than 2 years of abstinence on my account. I'm really stubborn. And I tried so many ways just to prove that you were wrong. And I did a big book twice, third time. I don't remember. Doesn't matter anyway. I had to be beaten to the ground to understand and finally be ready to just listen and not understand, just listen and take this leap of faith and try the big book and not arguing, not questioning, not asking why this, why that. And I just did it without, no proof that it will work. Yes, the proof of my sponsor because she was recovered. That's what she told me. But I didn't know her, and I just tried. But the only thing I had inside of me was that I had no one else to go except OA, the room of OA. And I searched, and I searched, and I found you guys after a lot of times. And I think people who are struggling, just keep continuing. Try. Don't let it go. Try. Try this program. Call. Try meetings. Try until you will find out. And that's what I wanted to share this morning. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Melanie P. from Montreal. All right, Aaron K., you are up next, followed by Sophia. Go ahead, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Thank you for your service. This is Aaron Kay, recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. This paragraph is really about skepticism. And, you know, the example is, you know, this newspaper is afraid to publish an account of flight that actually turned out to be true because they were afraid to be wrong and they were afraid to be embarrassed. And that was totally me. You know, a skeptic, a questioner. I had been, you know, religious as a younger kid, and then I felt like I grew out of God, and I had a lot of contempt for my former self. And you know, when I look back, it's like, whose opinion was I really afraid of? I don't really know. You know, I think almost it was my own opinion of myself. And I was afraid to be wrong, and I was afraid to be embarrassed, and I was afraid it wouldn't work for me, even if I really surrendered to it. And I learned, you know, what I think I learned, like, you can't die from embarrassment, but the food can sure kill me. And I came to this point where I think just the pain of what it was doing to me and my struggles in program, just not being able to surrender, even to take a thorough step woman, the pain overrode this fear of, you know, being wrong and being embarrassed and being humbled. And I came to this point where I was just like, what if all these people I'm hearing on this line are right? you know, write about sugar in any form, you know, I mean, it started with these small surrenders. But what if there is this power that I learned to lean on, and really food isn't my problem, it's been my solution, and there is another solution out there. What do I really have to lose? I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. But it took, you know, surrender to completely putting down my questioning, my skepticism, and being willing to believe this account that people were saying on this line over and over again that turned out to be true for them, and it became true for me. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Aaron Kay from Michigan. Sophie S., you are up next, and we'll get some more names according to the time we have left. Go ahead, Sophie.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. This is Sophie S. I'm a compulsive overeater from Massachusetts, but living in East Tennessee. And I love this paragraph. For me, it just really kind of shines a beautiful, glowing spotlight on how, you know, I can be conditionally powerless. And what I mean by that is, you know, I'm willing to accept many things in my life on face value, but the God thing when I first got to these rooms wasn't one of those things, and I was adamant that I couldn't accept anything at face value. But if I, you know, if you really looked at it, there was plenty of things. You know, I've got a friend coming to visit me this week. She's flying down from New York. I have no fear or doubt that her plane is going to fly and take off. And as we're reading here, not even that long ago, there was a big question about that, you know, like, when I'm sick, I go to the pharmacy and I take medicine. When, you know, I get in the shower, I don't doubt that when I turn the handle, it's going to turn on. You know, this book talks about, you know, turning on a light switch and not doubting that electricity is going to be working. And all of that is true for me. I have no problem believing in some power greater than me when it doesn't make me afraid or challenge me in some capacity, if that makes sense. You know, I showed up to these rooms and I was very much like, well, I don't know if the God thing is going to work for me because I'm an evidence person and I love science. And I can do this on my own. And my willpower has gotten me a lot of really awesome things. And I've considered, like, I'm a smart enough person. Like, I don't think this God thing is going to work. And frankly, I actually think that all of you are kind of like phoning it in and using it as an excuse. Like, I think that, you know, if you were as wonderful and disciplined and smart as me, you wouldn't need that crutch. But here I was, you know, I couldn't string together, gosh, towards the end of my eating, I couldn't string together more than a couple of hours without compulsively overeating. And so, you know, like the previous share was saying, I came to these rooms and I saw people doing things in a different way. And over time, slowly but surely, I became open-minded enough to say, well, clearly what I'm doing isn't working, but what they are is. So can I at least be willing to try? And that was enough for me to make my beginning. But even now, like in my recovery, it's something I got to be on guard for because, you know, it is easy to have faith and to put God in the driver's seat and Sophie's self-will in the back seat when everything is going how I want it to, right? Like, but that's not life. There's going to be days that are serene and go how I want them to, and there are going to be days where I'm like, are you kidding me? And I can't, you know, as a member of this program, amazing. All right, well, I'll just leave you all with this. I'm super grateful to be here with all of you. And I wish all of you a beautiful abstinent day. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for everyone doing service.
Well, thank you, Sophie S. from Massachusetts. I've got room for two more. Who else would like to share?
Sierra K., Montana.
Okay, how do you spell your first name?
Sierra.
Sierra?
Yes.
Is that S-I-E-R-R-A?
S-I-E-R-A-H.
Thank you, Sierra. All righty. And what was the first initial last
Lindsay
name?
Lindsay in Virginia.
All right, we'll sort that out. And room for one more.
Lindsay in Virginia.
Okay, Lindsay. All right, so Sierra, you're up first, followed by Lindsay. And you guys introduce yourself. Just please remember to include your name, first initial, and where you're calling from. Go ahead, Sierra.
Thank you so much. Sierra K. from Montana. Just this paragraph, the last couple sentences, had not people said God had reserved, oh, sorry, hi, I'm Sierra, I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Montana. Had not people said God had reserved this privilege to the birds. Only 30 years later, the conquest of air was almost an old story and the airplane travel was in full swing. And it just reminds me to set aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about my fellows, about myself, about my recovery, the 12 steps, about you, so that I may have an open mind and a new spiritual experience of all of these things, especially of you. And, you know, I got to a point in my life where I just didn't, you know, I believed in a higher power. I never denounced that there was something, you know, that created all of this. But I just thought that everything, I don't know, I had a lot of spite and anger. And I also just didn't, I hated the word God. Because of religious pressures growing up. And I thought I knew better. And, you know, coming to these rooms gave me permission to let go of all of those opinions that were holding me back. And I loved just hearing the way that people had such a deep, passionate connection with their higher power. And it gave me so much hope. And the power of prayer in my life now that it's not a Santa Claus, please make me hot, skinny, rich, and famous prayer. It's more of like a surrender of like, I don't know what to do. I can't figure this out. I don't even know who you are, God, but like, I do know that I need help and that I can't do this alone, that I'm powerless over, you know, this thinking, this sick twist of the mind, body, and spirit. And, you know, when I get to surrender into that, you know, things I don't know. And isn't that such a gift? Like, isn't it a gift to live in uncertainty and in the miracle of life that maybe my thoughts are wrong and maybe the negative thoughts about other people, about higher power, about myself, like, I don't know what's going to happen today. And when I get to live in that present miracle and stay connected to my higher power and to program, I mean, inexplicable words, the mind can't even explain or express the miracles I have received from being in the 12-step program, inside the big book specifically, and connected to my fellows. And I just want to say thank God for a vision for you. Thank God for my sponsor. Thank God for higher power. Thank God for God. And thank you for the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and all of your service by being here. Thanks so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Sierra K. from Montana. And Lindsay, you are up. We got a couple minutes if you want them.
Did you say Lindsay?
Yep.
Oh, hi. Yes. Hi, everyone. My name is Lindsay C. I live in Virginia. I am really, really grateful for everyone who's being of service on this meeting and for everyone who's shared so far. Really been mulling and listening. And The idea of fixed ideas and unreasonableness and bias, and how much I have been just crippled by those things. It says the realm of the spirit, and in this paragraph, it talks about how, like, you know, there's the realm of the spirit and the realm of the material, and the ancients were very skeptical about the material realm and they embraced spirituality, and aren't I so skeptical about the realm of the spiritual? And even though I wholeheartedly embrace the realm of the material, and what's coming to me is this idea of the line, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive. And like, one of my fixed ideas that I lived by for decades is this idea that there is the material realm and there is the spiritual realm, and they are separate and they are distinct, and I can only live in one. And I am a scientist, and I like skepticism and reason and critical thinking, and like I'm firmly living happily in facts and data, hold hard things. And then the people that are in the realm of the spirit, well, they're naive and they're uneducated and they're just easily fooled. And like, that is just so abhorrently prideful and just disrespectful, first of all. And bigger picture is like, I was suffering. I was the one that was suffering, and here they were living lives of purpose and connection and fulfilling, you know, how they were designed to be, and they were happy, joyous, and free, and I have never been able to attain that. And maybe it's time for me to cast aside the old ideas that I have just been paralyzed by and work to embrace and become a channel. And thank you. I'll wrap up. Ask for connection and ask for access to source so that I can have that too. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lindsay C. from Virginia, for taking us out. And thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Tuesday, July 14th, 2026, is 23,633. That's 23,633. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Ken W.H. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Rick. Ken here. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning prayer, your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you on